Good morning and welcome back to us. Welcome to Smashy Business. We're back.
We're back. This is Richard here, Richard Fitzgerald, and
Lubna Hamdan,
regular voice of the show and the host. Yeah, we're back. You know,
guess who's back?
9 days. I shouldn't stop you singing. Lubna's back. Yeah, like it almost feels like this. Because of the UAE giving the extra days, right? Like it almost feels like the US over that Christmas period and New Year's.
Totally.
Where the stock markets, where business slows, like it felt like a pretty quiet break business wise, didn't it? Like,
yeah. Business wise, not politically, but absolutely.
Not politically.
Yeah,
at all. but business wise, though, you know, like even over the, like there was stuff going on, people were doing their aid promotions and there's a lot of travel stuff. But it did feel like, I think Dubai took a collective, or the UAE particularly, and even Saudi, sort of a breather, because it was...
Yeah, everyone needed a break, honestly.
Yeah.
It's been really hectic, and Ramadan was not easy at all. It didn't actually slow down in Ramadan.
It didn't slow down. I think you're right. Like, even our business, like Q4, Q1 was busy. The economies are growing in the Gulf, and there's also the geopolitical... brain energy stuff that it's taxing for everyone.
How diplomatic of you, brain energy stuff,
But it is stress. I mean, obviously, if you live in countries, but even if you live in safe havens, like here, alhamdulillah, we feel safe here, but like, you know, it's absorbing. I can't find the right words, but it taxes you, like it's stressful.
Did you just say alhamdulillah?
Yeah.
Wow, nice. Okay, I like that.
Can I pronounce it?
Is that something you picked up in Egypt?
I popped down to Egypt over AIDS. Yeah, just like celebrate it. Yeah, I picked it up there.
Yeah, cool.
You can pick it up in many countries, though.
True.
You can pick it up in the US if you wanted to as well, or in Australia.
All right, cool. I got your, I read between the lines.
How was your break?
My break was pretty nice, honestly, just very chill. You know what? I actually stayed at the 5 JVC. With my mom, my grandma, and my sister. We just kind of took a suite there, and my dad was in Moscow, so we decided to have a nice girls' time out. And you know what? I know everyone says it's the party hotel, and granted, yes, you do come across some scenes there that are strange, to say the least, but there were so many families there as well, and I think the 5 was always, you know, Kabir, one of the owners of the 5, he really wanted to go down that route and get all those people who... you know, would order those bottles and, you know, pay the massive bills. And some people call them Novorish, you know, but for him, they pay the bills and they make the money. But this time there were so many families at the 5 JVC. Mm. It was just like an interesting, thing to see. Like,
because
it's
the 5,
such a successful brand, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So the 5 JVC is basically the difference between that and another hotel in this part of the town is that you've got your own private pool, have you? I've never been there.
Most of the rooms have their own private pools. And the way that it's done, it's such an architectural marvel, I think, really. It's the circular building and, private pools. And you really get, you know, value for your money because it's not priced that high compared to other hotels. Like, if you want to get a private pool here in Dubai, somewhere with a private pool, you would pay a fortune, but at the 5, it's not actually that much.
And is it shared restaurants as well, or is everything sort of in the room? Like, do you go down for breakfast, or do you have?
You have to go down for. It's like a proper hotel. It's not. I mean, they have residences there as well.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of years back, I wanted to move, and I was looking at one of the apartments there. And with the private pool, and I think it was literally like $135,000. A year. I mean, that's insane. Then I say, oh God, like I wish I took it back then, you know?
But I think, you know, I heard another radio show talking about 5, and it's 2024 now, and it was known as the lockdown party place in the Palm. And I remember the videos we were getting and the police and the people were just so upset with how bad the management were dealing with it in terms of COVID and Corona and proximity and everything.
Yeah.
They were just so upset with it. But it did attract a certain sort of like people who wanted to escape the strictness of other countries.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to come here to work, but also to party a bit. And that's what happened there. But you're right. Like, I think.
And it just made them more popular.
And they're more popular. But also, it is hard to stand out. It's on Emirates flyers, and they have advertising on Emirates flyers as five. Mm-hmm. So people who, expats who talk on the radios here, you know, they'll be talking about this because they think it's really big. It probably is really big, but it's only two properties, right? And
three.
It's three now. Was the third
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there's one in JBR now. It's five Lux, so it's the more luxury, more high-end, yeah.
Look, yeah, it has done well, but if you look back, right, this was a falling out between... This was supposed to be Viceroy.
Yes.
It was Viceroy on the Palm. And that's an independent brand. It's not part of one of the hotel conglomerates.
Yeah.
And there was a big falling out there, as happens. But the Viceroy was successful in Abu Dhabi originally before it was rebranded as a W. And there's been many hotel stories like that, but they've obviously done a decent job. But, you know, I wouldn't overblow how successful they've been because there's, you know, I think capacity in hotels in the UAE over Eid was 100% or something ridiculous. Like, so,
yeah, but this place is filled like every single day of the week.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know what? I also love that he kind of pushed the Viceroy out. And, you know, he's a guy from here, you know, okay, not local, but I mean, he turned it into a homegrown brand. And I just love that it's doing really
story.
Well, you know, even though people love to hate on it, but I don't know, it's mental, like it's crazy. But
yeah,
anyway, he's quite the character himself as well, Kabir. We should have him on the show. Speaking of him. Anyway, shall we move on to the
news?
What
are we talking about today? Yeah.
So, I'll just go through the headlines real quick for you guys listening or watching. Emar has banned the use... Oh, Emar. They have banned the use of AI altered imagery or CGI on any of its assets. Shout out, Emar. We have been through a lot together. Much love.
Story for another day, yeah.
Story for another day. Or not. Lesson learned. Andrew Tate is saying, don't sell your real estate in Dubai just yet. We'll talk about his $16 million apartment in Dubai. And then Nas Daily attended the disgraced WeWork ex-CEO Adam Neumann's new startup event. We'll talk about that. And Google Cloud's deal with the IDF has sparked controversy. Not a good week for Google.
Lots to talk about.
So let's talk about Emar first.
Okay, so what's going on here is that in the last sort of 2 years, one of the biggest trends in digital marketing is CGI. And obviously AI, we've talked about it a lot. And people in AI are wondering who owns the content and everything like this. What we've experienced, Lubna, is that a lot of viral videos that get marketing traction are done by CGI.
And CGI, I think a lot of people don't know what CGI is actually. CGI is just to explain it when...
special effects, yeah.
Special effects, you know, we've all seen the kind of things moving around in the Museum of the Future, kind of flying cars. We've seen things around the Dubai Frame. Recently, KFC did a CGI video, an AI-altered video with the fake cheetah, obviously, outside of KFC, but it looked so real that they were asked to take down the video as part of their marketing campaign. Sorry, go ahead, just to explain.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly, and there's good CGI videos that are done when the better ones that go viral, like, so this is a vertical video trend that does well. It's been going for a while, right? Like, there was a famous one that Adidas did in the Frame Dubai when Messi won the World Cup in Qatar. Like, these things have been working really well, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem is that some of these buildings, it works well when you've got an iconic building and then a story and something's a bit surreal that people are like, oh, that's wicked.
Yeah.
And the better ones, Lubna, are the production companies. And these videos can go, these CGI videos for 60 seconds, you can be quoted $15,000, $20,000, $35,000 just for production. And the good production companies, down as it's been commoditized, like everything in content, you can get them now for 6,000 dirhams.
Yeah.
But the better ones are the ones that actually go to the location, shoot the raw canvas scene, get the cars and the people walking by, take it back exactly as the storyboard is, and then add the second part of the story, the
special
fake
effects. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the issue, right? Because you're using someone's image rights or something's image rights. And what we've heard from on Love in Dubai and elsewhere is simply put, this is the quote. I'll just get you the quote. So this is a legal thing. So simply put, the Museum of the Future has a global right protection on use of image, logo, and wordmark. Mm-hmm. We do license our image under our strategic partnerships, and you will see image use in markets from the likes of Audi, EK, SAP, and Visa. And now Imar are doing the same thing. Now, many content creators will say, hey, that's silly because you're missing out on loads of content, free marketing,
yeah.
And also you can't control the internet. But if you're a commercial entity, think of the Burj Khalifa as one of the most successful commercial entities.
Absolutely.
If the Burj Khalifa ever IPOs, which it potentially could, mm-hmm. it brings in a fortune, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. a cash printer, right?
Yeah.
Just like Eiffel Tower. And it's so a good, you want these commercial entities to be good at this stuff. And like Museum of the Future, they sell their rights to Audi, EK, SAP, and Visa. So they want to control that, not let other, and imagine another brand, imagine Mercedes did a CGI on Museum of the Future,
mm-hmm.
and Museum of the Future have a deal with Audi,
mm-hmm.
so it's not fair.
Yeah.
So I get their point, but I don't think you can control it. And I'll tell you something is that, you know, like there's other buildings, properties that are now saying, hey, you can't use my building and CGI,
right.
And legally you need to push back on them and say, do you have a global right protection? Have you paid for the protection of your virtual asset? You know,
that's a great point that you made. Yeah, you should ask them that question, because yeah, for some properties, like for iconic buildings commercially, yes, it does make sense. And I think, you know, they will get away with that here in Dubai, because they do want to control that kind of stuff and they do want to make money off of it. And, you know, it's their business model, right? Like they've been doing this for so long. So, yeah, I mean, I do think it makes sense not to allow. And Imar has come under a bit of fire, not too much. People were kind of talking about it a little bit over the weekend. Someone said, typical Imar, good luck trying to stop the internet.
There's this AI artist in Dubai called Joy John Malour.
Yeah.
J-Y-O John Malour. And he, I think, Lubna, everyone's seen his assets. Like, I'll just put some up here. There's Ronaldo. Like, he just does all these beautiful things over. He basically has taken Midjourney and Discord and taken it to a new level, right?
Yeah.
But every now and again, he creates something that's, so he created, you know, over age, many people were around Dubai Mall, right? Mm-hmm. And he created this asset of people climbing up the Burj Khalifa.
Right.
And people were like, that causes fear and panic. And Burj Khalifa were like, that's using our rights. So it's not on his page anymore. But so this is the thing that people are grappling with. Like, there's Messi playing tennis.
He's had to remove it. Yeah.
He's had to remove it. We, Love in Dubai, had to remove it and things like that. But it's just, it is the evolving nature of the AI CGI world that we now live in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see the regulations around this. But yeah, no, I mean,
yeah, so what's the next story?
I just hate AI generally anyways. Like, you know, you're showing me his profile and you're like, oh, it looks so beautiful. I'm like, actually, no, it doesn't. It just doesn't look beautiful for me. I don't know.
Did I say it looked beautiful?
Yeah.
No, I think it's not beautiful. I think it's creative. Like, look, I think it's creative.
Yeah.
Because I see,
it's like contemporary arts. Ugh.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah. Sorry. You see what? Sorry. Go ahead.
I see people using Midjourney and it looks tacky. It's just, they haven't understood the prompts. They haven't sort of mastered the art. Mm. And I see someone like this putting penguins. It's just the creative work that he's clearly the top of his specialism.
Penguins on
the street, yeah.
Sheikh Zayed? Is that New York or where is that?
It's Sheikh Zayed, Dubai.
That's Sheikh Zayed Road. Okay, nice.
Sometimes this stuff is quite creative. Yeah,
yeah.
Some of the stuff is quite creative. I just think it's interesting to sort of see where this stuff goes, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew Tate is in the news again. He put out a tweet. He said
we got over the Imar thing without telling them this beef with them, but yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah. Oh my days.
A load of night, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near Imar for the time being. Anyways, so Andrew Tate bought a $16 million apartment in Dubai 2 years ago. He said he was offered $21 million for it. He said it's a great return on real estate for 2 years, especially considering it's not even a finished building yet. But the whole market's raised, so buying a 21 million place now is just buying another 16 million penthouse a few years ago. Does this make any sense to you? It's not actually profit if I buy another place. So gonna ape it all into Bitcoin or don't sell. A 30% appreciation in 2 years is a great deal for real estate. But he kind of has a point. Do you think it's a good time for people?
Was he asking people, is he going to put this into Bitcoin?
Well, it's not clear. He's, as usual, very ambiguous with his tweets. He just says a lot without actually making a statement. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a flex as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's Andrew Tate. Yeah, he's even always flexing, just generally the way that he looks is
Andrew
always.
Flex Tate. Yeah,
yeah.
But I think there are some people like
Top G.
There are some, you know, we've heard. I think I could be wrong, but some people have been really smart with property and plots, especially around Bulgaria and that island down there. Like well-known people like Ronaldo, Umar Kamani from Pretty Little Thing and Boohoo and those sort of groups. Like there are some people who are well known that have done these transactions. And yeah, look, again, Lubna, you and I sat with Hussein Sujani from Damac Group over Ramadan, and he told us it's slowing. Mm-hmm. He didn't panic. He's been through it all over the things. And he you know, I think that he didn't say it's dropping. He kind of said that the fast pace of growth was not at that pace this year. Mm-hmm. But he didn't seem to give the indication that any prices were dropping. So, yeah, look, it's a hard. I'm not going to speculate in property prices. I just think, you know, there is a lot of geopolitical stuff going on. What we saw during the Arab Spring was that a lot of countries that were under economic and geopolitical pressure, a lot of people came to safe havens, and I think potentially that could even have another knock-on effect on the property here. But also other fixed assets, other commodities, other investment opportunities. You know, we see the price of gold is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
We also, you know, you mentioned this morning that Bitcoin, there's a big crypto event happening in Dubai this week. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in that space as well. So
we need to check it out. Yeah, try and get a story there. Because last time we went to a crypto event, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was random in the festival city. It was like like an arena or something there.
Yeah, booze all over the place. But I think you're right.
Smell of booze, yeah. As soon as you entered and
But do expect you know, a lot of crypto is back up, and I would expect, if we're talking about like five party down, you know, like crypto went down. And now it's back up, and I would say we will see some show offness. You know, when Miami and when they do their Bitcoin crypto things, or when, you know, New York NYC NFT. Well, like when they used to have their big parties in 2021.
Yeah,
I suspect we'll see a little bit of flexing in Dubai over the next 10 days.
Yeah.
Remember those branded like Lamborghinis wrapped with Bitcoin logos and stuff? I think we're going to be in for a bit of that.
I remember there was this artist called Abdullah something, and he, I remember they did this thing in the Dubai Opera where they got Peggy Goo or Peggy Sue, I don't know what her name is.
Peggy Goo.
Okay, our producer.
Thanks, Adi, our producer.
Peggy Goo.
Yeah.
And basically, she was DJing in the background, and he was painting this Lamborghini. So he's the guy who got in trouble for painting like a hotel room in New York. It was quite interesting. He's a character, but he kind of disappeared. I don't actually know where he is. Anyway, that's another story for another day. Someone else who's back in the spotlight is the ousted CEO of WeWork, Adam Neumann, and he had Nas Daily, who's living in Dubai now, the content creator. Palestinian Israeli. A lot of people don't like that we call him Palestinian Israeli because he's very pro-Israel, very anti-Palestine. So yeah, he's originally Palestinian Israeli.
Arab Israeli, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, Adam Neumann, what's this flow company about? Some other concept he's come up with?
So you know what? I love when these billionaires. So Adam Neumann is an Israeli billionaire, co-founder, ex-CEO of WeWork, the total failure of a startup. This Flow is a new residential real estate startup. The business model is still it's just unclear, right? He says it's community driven. It aims to elevate the renting experience. He wants to combine co-working spaces with residential spaces, but it remains a mystery to many. Fast Company actually published an article titled "Adam Newman Talked About Flow for a Full Hour and We Still Don't Know What It Is."
Fair enough. He pitched it at FII. I was there in person in Saudi when I heard him talk about it, and he's a very good salesperson, right? Like, WeWork is a total failure in terms of the markup. You know, Miyoshi Sun and SoftBank went big on it. It got up to $64 billion valuation. People like Scott Galloway, that commentator in the US, called bullshit on it.
Yeah.
It flopped. It went down to nothing. He got ousted. Loads of shows and loads of books have been written about it.
We crashed on Apple too. There's a lot of them.
There was three or four books at the same time and two or three shows, and a lot of people got into it. Really well done. The thing is, though,
apparently I read that he didn't allow staff to eat meat, and then he was caught eating meat or something.
Those documentaries and those books go into it, but there's a lot of a lot of hot air stuff in that company at that time. And effectively, it was a real estate play, and they owned a lot of resources. But, you know, we started in a co-working space. Like, co-working works, right? But not maybe at that valuation, because he was pitching tech. However, he's now, as well as this story at Flow, he's also doing the rounds in the media, because he's trying to buy WeWork back for $500 million. And sometimes, like, Travis Kalanick got kicked out of Uber. He wasn't allowed back. Like, now this guy wants a comeback story. You know, Media American loves a comeback story. So he's trying to buy it back for $500 million.
Yeah.
The thing is, total failure, cool. Apparently, it makes $2 billion a year revenue. It's loss-making, but apparently it makes $2 billion a year revenue from rental. There's a WeWork in Abu Dhabi, right? Like, in Hub 71. Like, the co-working business can work if it's not pitched. I'm sorry, but if it's done as a real estate co-working play, not as a tech play, you know? And I think that's the problem. But yeah, so
maybe Flow will work, because he did hint about, you know, co-working and residential and elevating and coming to your higher self. Meet your higher self.
He is a good salesperson, but I don't think people are going to give him as much money as they gave him the last time, because it didn't really pay off.
So he's raised $350 million from the VC company Anderson Horowitz. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the Miami project is in a place that was once
Anderson
considered
Horowitz. Yeah,
was once considered a tent city for homeless people.
Where was this launch event? They had a lot of people on the panel and stuff, didn't they? It was in Miami. So Nusayr Yassin has been over there.
Nasali Nusayr Yassin, was there. Adam Wahid was there as well. He's American Egyptian. He's a content creator. So Nas Daily himself launched Nas House, a hotel here in Dubai, and
maybe that'll be rebranded as Flow.
Has a cat's room. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's another Flow. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I wonder how Nas House is doing. Have you ever been there? Actually,
no, I haven't.
It's private villas. It just seems like a very hippie kind of community. They have people standing on.
Been worth checking
needles
out.
And stuff like that. Yeah, worth checking cool. out. I wouldn't give them my money. However,
you prefer to go to Vice JVC than Nas House.
I mean, I would prefer to go to someone better than him. Yeah, I'm not a fan of his at all.
Have you met him?
I haven't met him, luckily.
Give him a chance. Have a conversation.
Give him a chance. People are angry we're calling him Palestinian. Give him a chance. I can't stand the guy. But anyways, it's okay. It's not illegal not to like people.
And, I've met him. I've interacted with him. I'm impressed with a lot of stuff that he does. I think the 1 minute creator thing, 1 minute video thing, how he mastered the internet at the start was good. Also, very impressed with Nas Summit. The few NAS summits that he's had in Dubai have been really impactful, better than most conferences I've been to. And the people that show up on Saturday and Sunday, like, I've seen people, Lubna, who don't have much cash from Southeast Asia, literally the only thing that they want to go to is NAS summit, paying for tickets, staying on floors just to learn, not concerts, like, You know, so there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, you know, there's a, the world wants to be, young people want to be creators. They want to be YouTubers and stuff like that. And he brings a lot of them together.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I feel like we're doomed because everyone just wants to be a creator. Like, are we, I mean, gosh, I mean, honestly, if you, like, his 1 minute videos are just ridiculous. Like, I actually feel my brain cells dying when I watch these videos. Honestly, I just, it's fascinating how people like him, you know, have made it. But anyway, I think he's got a lot of backup, but we're not going to go into it on the show. We're going to keep it civil. Shall we move on to Google Cloud? New details have emerged about Google's relationship with the Israeli government. It's raised fresh concerns about the tech giant's involvement with military engaged in the Gaza genocides. A whistleblower has also come forward to reveal information shedding light about a potentially problematic partnership and fueling the debate around tech companies' involvement in military activities. A leaked draft contract obtained by Time reveals that Google provided consulting services worth over $1 million to the IDF in March, coinciding with the recent genocide in Gaza. So are we surprised?
I think this is a bad story for Google.
Very bad.
I think it's very bad, you know, how it's happened. Yeah. And they have a history of whistleblowers. They have a history of dealing with things. I remember back when my brother worked there, you know, how they dealt with the Pentagon, how they dealt with the ICE, the border issues in the US. Like, there's a history of stuff there, like how they dealt with misogyny in the company and the Me Too movement and things like that. A lot of the big guys, the Android founder, Ruben and stuff, were kicked out. Like, they have a lot of history of people internally doing walkouts. Mm. And this is a whistleblowing situation where Time magazine, and we call them magazine, but Time have done a great job at reporting this, where they've seen the $1 million contract. Like, Lubna, like, really, should a tech listed company be signing $1 million consultancy when there's genocide and war is going on? Like, is that something that's ethical? Do you know what I mean? I know, I get business relationships. Yeah. I get the cloud. I get someone can have a Gmail address in any part of the world, and I get, like, businesses need to operate, but doing a direct consultancy dean on AI and giving data in the middle of all this, like, and it having been leaked, like, if you're totally cool with it and you think it's the right thing to do, then reveal it to the public, your listed company.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but if you're trying to hide it, it looks like they weren't transparent about it.
I mean, nobody expects tech companies to be the most ethical of companies, but this is really crossing a red line. You know,
we should expect them to, should we not?
Yeah.
Should we not expect tech companies? Like, isn't this the whole point? Like, why should tech companies be evil, right? Yeah. Like, Google's don't
be
evil.
I mean, they shouldn't, but unfortunately, they do tend to get away with a lot. You know, Facebook has gotten away with so much. And
I think we should expect more from them. And that's why I think this is bad for Google. Like, I think we should expect more from them. They should
be held accountable for this. Yeah.
Well, we're talking a lot about AI. We're talking about the new emerging companies and OpenAI. A lot of these companies, NVIDIA, are going to have a lot of power over things like that. And I think, again, it could be something, you know, have they come out? Have they written on their blog about what the deal is here? You know, is there their side of the story? You know, but at the moment, this type of consultancy service, especially after we heard about Lavender, which provided AI data for drones to target 38,000 people. Like, that's just, it's just inhuman, basically. It's using AI to kill people.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's insane. Yeah, but I mean, let's see. Do you think they're going to come out with a proper statement?
I don't know. I don't know, really. I think we need to look into it.
Yeah. I think they're going to try and just let it, I think they're going to try and, yeah, get people to forget about it and probably not put anything out. Anyways, a lot happening. We're not going to get into the politics too much, but we saw a lot of the airspace close. A lot of the flights were diverted. When did you get back from Egypt? You didn't get back yesterday, did you?
No, I came back, I can't remember, Thursday night.
some people had different experiences at the airport. There was Chrissy Teigen had a 5-hour delay in Dubai.
Coming back from Thailand. Yeah, and her husband, John Legend, and their kids. Yeah,
God forbid Chrissy Teigen's flight gets delayed. Chilling in the lounge in Dubai.
We're all back to work now. I think it's going to be a fairly busy sort of like run into before the schools are off in the summer. I think there's a lot of conferences. There's ATM coming up. There's a lot of big things happening.
Yeah.
And, Smashy Business will be there front and center.
Absolutely, absolutely. One more thing before we go, though. I was talking to Gen Z, and there are some kind of, obviously, geopolitical tensions with the missiles, Iran, Israel. But I was talking to Gen Z outside a couple of
kids in
minutes
office.
Ago. Yeah. And they said, they're like, we...
Our producer
just said, wow, Gen Z.
Yeah, his name's Ali, Gen Z.
As if it's an insult. It's not, Ali. It's not an insult. But they were like, yeah, actually, we don't know that much about it. And they don't seem to be that fazed about it.
Yeah.
We're here talking about it, wondering what's going to happen.
I went down a kind of a Twitter kind of rabbit hole over the weekend. Yeah. And you could read so much about it, but it is isolated. Like, I remember there was an incident a few months ago that like gripped me on a Saturday. Remember there was a Russian thing where...
The Moscow attacks, you mean? Yeah.
No, before the Moscow attacks, even before that. So this is like 6-8 months ago.
Oh, okay.
There was a day where the... What's the guy's name who was...
Navalny, you mean?
Yeah.
The guy who died in prison?
No. Remember there was a day where there was almost a coup on Moscow. Where
this guy,
the leader of the thing who died in a plane crash.
Yes. Yeah.
What's his name? Anyway, this was a whole thing, like, and I was reading that Lumna, like minute by minute update, like I was just gripped to it. It was a whole like 12-14 hour story. And I came out on Monday morning, I kind of asked around, like, and they're like, no. So like news can be, but without TV and without mainstream, like news can be quite isolated, you know? Like
Prigozhin.
Yeah.
Prigozhin, yeah.
Yeah.
He was the Wagner groove chief, yeah.
Wagner, yeah, the mercenary kind of soldier guys.
I couldn't believe he died. I was actually so sad that he died. Yeah. I don't know, was that a coup? What happened? I'm still shocked. Some people were saying that he's not really dead. I don't know, it was the strangest thing. But he did so much for Russia, and it was a very sad day. I know he's a mercenary, but
yeah, it's okay. You can be sad for a fellow Russian passing, but yeah, I mean, what sort of show is this now? but I do think it's a good point, but also I do think it is reflective of how safe the UAE and Saudi is, and I hope that would continue.
I love how we're always ending it on the UAE is safe.
I thought I steered that one quite well. Right,
no,
lovely guys.
I totally agree with
business stories. We'd love to have that.
All right. If we don't get shut down. Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. Thank you, Richard, for your time. And hopefully I still have a job tomorrow. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye.